Well, hello out there, boys and girls, and listeners in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here with a sly grin on my face. We have a treat for you. So if you've not made the coffee, go ahead and expedite the process. Cancel your plans for the next 43 minutes because this is really going to be radio worth listening to. Now, you're familiar with the guests that we have on this program. Scott Spears having everybody from Geraldo Rivera to Sam Donaldson to personal favorite of mine, Marla Gibbs, and Glenn Coble having on our favorite environmentalist, Mr. James Anderson, but also our favorite presidentologist, a word coined by yours truly, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. Dr. Feynman, well, I just call him Ron, but however you refer to him, he has been on with Glenn, with Scott, but hasn't been on with me for a while. And just tell you the truth, we have talked about this on the air. We had some divergence in our opinions of some of the issues that have come about in the last 2.5 years. I think you folks know what issues we're referring to. But honestly, Ron and I see eye to eye a lot more than we might admit to. We both like to joke around a bit. That's probably our New York upbringing. But that's a good thing because, you know, the world's a little too messed up now not to have any humor, because I think laughter and humor are the best medicine anyway. But bottom line is, this is a, we like to joke around. And maybe you hear Ron giggling there in the background. Yes, in fact, he has come back for a return appearance on my program. But this show is, giggles aside, but a very serious topic, a very controversial topic, and one that I think every American has an opinion on. Some issues, many people plead the fifth. But on this one, everybody I know has an opinion, and it tends to be a strong one. And if you folks listen to my show, listen to my calls to Scott or to Glenn, you might wonder exactly, what exactly are Adam's politics? One minute he's saying that masks are useless. The next minute he's saying that you should be able to marry whom you wish as long as you're consenting adults. And one thing Adam also says is he feels that although used as a method of birth control, per se, abortion is wrong. But if a woman chooses to have one, that's her decision. It should be legal, and he supports that. Adam is also, Adam, of course, being myself in the third person, also very adamant about the fact that in the case of something like rape, a very difficult topic to talk about, very tragic topic, that honestly, I think abortion is the right thing to do. But again, whatever the woman decides, that's her decision. That's the bottom line. And I've felt that way ever since I understood the issue. And I've found myself feeling more and more strongly about it. Best way to sum up my politics is I'm a keep your laws off my body guy. I've described myself as old school liberal Republican. I mean, John Anderson, Teddy Roosevelt type. And we don't have a lot of politicians like that anymore. But for the most part, their types of beliefs are consistent with mine. We have liberties as Americans, you know, and the libertarian mentality, and that's kind of what America is built on. And regardless of whether or not you, the listener, and Ron and others agree with me on the COVID and the other issues, one we do agree with, at least in this case, is the woman's right to choose. And Ron and I agree that abortion is an unfortunate thing. It's not a form of birth control. Yes, people should wrap their package, so to speak. But sometimes things happen where there's not a lot of control over the possible end result. And bottom line is, it's the woman's body. It's her choice. And what she chooses to do, we fully respect that decision. So we're bringing Ron on a special guest appearance on my program to talk about that. Ron, haven't talked.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Adam.
Oh, no problem. We talk, of course, over Facebook almost every day. Of course, listeners probably don't know that, but just want to fill you in. Not like we have not kept a friendship. It's just we took a bit of a sabbatical on the show, but it might change. But bottom line is, on this issue, we are in 100% agreement. And not only in the fact that it was Christmas Eve on Friday the 24th, the six-month point to Christmas Eve. But this was not a Christmas present for us and people that feel as we do, even though we are men. You're a father. I'm not. We feel this is an issue affecting all Homo sapiens, and one where we agree 100%, not just on the fact that a woman has a right to have an abortion, but that it often isn't an advisable course of events, but we respect her decision regardless of whether or not she chooses to do that, as it is her body, and we feel that it is something that must be protected. People have said, well, Roe v. Wade isn't in the Constitution, is not implied by the Constitution, and never should have been enacted. And here we are almost half a century later, and it essentially has gone the way of a hula hoop. And again, it might have been 6 months to Christmas Eve, but that was not a very good Christmas present for us and people that feel that way, was it?
Yes, let me begin, if I may, by saying that I think what happened on Friday is the most shocking event, even though we had a forecast of it in May because of the leaked opinion. But I guess I was hoping that John Roberts would get at least one other justice to agree not to totally wipe out abortion, and he failed. And by the way, that makes Chief Justice Roberts a failure, and he's one of 17 Chief Justices, and he will go down in the bottom half of the Chief Justices. He cannot recover from this. He's not going to be among the top Chief Justices. He's lost his control of his court to extreme right-wingers. He is not. He's a moderate conservative, but he cannot control the court anymore. And honestly, I think he should resign for that. I really think he should. And let Joe Biden pick a new Democratic, Chief Justice. We haven't had any Democratic Chief Justice in a very long time, and it's time to have one. That's what I would suggest. But that doesn't mean he's going to quit. But I really think that he should be in shame for what has happened.
We're talking with Dr. Ron Fineman, a regular guest on this radio station. He's not been on with me in a bit, but we definitely are due. Talking about a rather serious topic, one where he and I are virtually 100% in agreement. It's come up, Ron, how could this have been stopped? And I asked you off the air, you've heard people say, okay, Biden's a weak president. Biden doesn't have all of his facilities. Could he have stopped this? And
he could not have stopped it because the Senate is 50-50, and unfortunately he has to deal with Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, who don't go along on a lot of things that Democrats want, and he could not, and it's a 50-50 Senate. This is only the fourth time we've had an evenly split Senate, and that is, of course, not a good situation because it makes it almost impossible. The vice president has to cast a tie-breaking vote, but only if every member of the party is united, but Sinema and Manchin are not. And I do blame Manchin and Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, for trusting that these people were going to tell the truth when they were questioned about their viewpoint on abortion. Those three appointments by Trump should all be, they will not be, of course, but they should all be removed from the court because they lied under oath. And that should be an impeachable offense that should lead to them leaving the court. But of course, impeachment doesn't lead to conviction. You have to get 67 votes, so it's just rhetoric. I mean, I realize that, but I think they have lost their credibility completely. And I wanted to say, this is the most shocking event since September 11th in my mind. It just totally floored me. And I think there's no event more significant since September 11th than this one.
Yeah,
and that's sad.
I wanted to ask that, Ron, because we have so many things to get through. We are speaking with our official WWGH presidentologist and political commentator, Dr. Ron L. Fineman, who writes a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, as he's been doing for 11, 12, 13, 14 years.
14 years this August, and I'm also on historynewsnetwork.org under my name, Ronald L. Fineman, as well, for 6 years.
Haven't had this gentleman on my show for a bit. He is on with Glenn just about every week, and he is sometimes on with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott E. Spears. Certainly with the constitutionality of this landmark decision, that has generated a lot of the dialogue. And people have said, as I mentioned earlier, the right to an abortion is not guaranteed or protected by the Constitution, that Roe v. Wade was wrong. And I know you're not a constitutional lawyer, Ron. You're more of a historian, a presidential expert. How do you feel about people saying that?
I do not agree with them, because the whole thing about that is not in the Constitution. This is the originalism argument of the right wing of the court, where they think that it has to be what was mentioned in 1787 of the Constitutional Convention. That's 235 years ago. Well, as I wrote on the Progressive Professor, there's nothing said in the Constitution about political parties. Nothing said about cabinet offices. Nothing said about ending slavery or giving the right to vote to women and racial minorities or Social Security or Medicare or so many other activities and basic functions of government. All these things came later. If we're going to go back to 1787, we're not in modern times. We're in the 21st century, and a conservative writer who suddenly become much more moderate, Jennifer Rubin of the Washington Post, says we're in the 21st century and the court wants to put us back into the 18th century. And that's insanity.
So we need to understand that things have changed. I mean, technology obviously has had such a tremendous influence, but how we look at humans, the fact that, out of lack of a better way to say it, not everybody is a white male, not everybody is a Christian. America is a melting pot where people of all types, all demographics are welcome.
And I intervene to say, if you go by Clarence Thomas's reasoning, he should not be free, he should be a slave, and he shouldn't be allowed to marry a white woman.
Right, and we'll get to his
hypocrisy. Just examples, I'm saying. It's insanity.
Right.
The man, I think, has mental issues. I really think he's been on a crusade because he had difficulty in his hearings, you know, because of sexual harassment, which I believe really did occur. And, you know, and he made the point at the time, and I remember it, now people are talking about it. When he got on the court at 43, he said, I'm going to stay on the court till I'm 86 to confound the damn liberals. Well, he's had 31 years, and he plans to stay, I guess, to 2034. And, you know, and meanwhile, his wife is involved in helping to promote the January 6th insurrection. There's so much wrong with him that he needs to be, more than the others, off the court. He won't be by impeachment, but he really is a lawbreaker, and he's out of control, and I think he's mentally, he's got problems. I really think he does. He's got bitterness and resentment that is really bad.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking to Dr. Ron Fineman about the happenings of 6 months from Christmas Eve, which definitely were not a Christmas present, at least for people who feel like he and I do. Now, Ron, you talked about the big issues that have happened in recent history. Well, my lifetime began in 1964, so you can do the math if you want.
The Great Society started.
Right, and I do want to mention the Kennedy assassination was just before I was born. That obviously was a major event, so that's why I want to make sure people understand exactly what...
Yeah,
I think
it's a major event of my lifetime,
right,
until 9/11, and now this. I'm putting it in the same category in my mind. You might say, a Supreme Court decision on the same level? Yes, because it's a devastating thing, just like 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination.
I mean, in my lifetime, what are the big events? The Watergate, the Nixon stuff, Vietnam...
That's not shocking the same way as the things I mentioned. It is actually January 6th is a shocking event, but even that, I would say, this is even worse. It really is, even though January 6th is horrible.
Right. If I name events, I mean, can we agree they're in the top 10, but not necessarily put the order?
Yes.
Let's just start from the beginning of my lifetime, Vietnam War, the Nixon stuff, the Watergate, kind of put that all together.
Yes.
The 9/11 and the aftermath, for example, the increased security at airports, the COVID issues, and that's several issues.
Yes. Combined. Also, I could add the Reagan assassination attempt in 1981, the last time it's happened. You know, luckily it didn't occur, but that was quite a shocking event as well.
And I think two Supreme Court decisions, which I think both of us, I mean, we feel differently about them, both of us probably didn't expect to happen, the same-sex marriage and the removal of Roe v. Wade, plus the passing of Roe v. Wade to begin with. That also is in that early to mid-70s. So we can agree, and the January 6th issues, regardless of how people feel.
Yeah, also the decision of the court on guns the day before is shocking. 2 days in a row, that in the middle of having massacres, they're saying that New York cannot have any kind of regulation, so in the subways and other places in big cities, there's going to be even more mass murder now. I just can't... That was shocking. Then the next day, about 24 hours later, it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's been a pretty busy time, but those are certainly in the top 10 happenings for my lifetime. I would presume, Ron, you would put this well ahead of any of the COVID issues, and you're putting it on the same level as 9/11.
I would, yeah, even though these are all major issues, yes, I would. I think this, and if this is going to be an issue, like you said, it's going to be a Cold War going on. It's going to be more than a Cold War. There's unfortunately going to be trouble. I don't wish for it, but I think there's going to be violence and bloodshed over this because people, women are not going to accept, and men who love them are not going to accept this. And I'm not saying they should commit violence, absolutely not, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's going to happen, I'm afraid. And I think all those members of the court, sadly, are really need security all the time now because of what they've done. And that's wrong. I mean, it shouldn't have to, but I do think that's what it comes down to. I think all their lives are in danger now, really, because this is just infuriating and people are not going to tolerate it. And yet the other side is cheering it. I saw these young people cheering outside the court, and I thought to myself, these are women, young women, and some of them are minority women, and I'm thinking, what is in your head? What are you thinking? What if you got raped on a date? And don't tell me it doesn't happen in college or in high school. Or what if you're 12 years old and your step-grandfather, I've read a case, I think in Brazil, where an 11-year-old has to have a baby. She was raped by her step-grandfather many times and got pregnant. This is sick. That should not be, this should at the least be exceptions. I'm not saying I advocate, you know, that everybody should have abortion at will. I always have said to my students, we should have fewer abortions, but we cannot deny a woman the right to decide because of rape, incest, life of the mother, and also, you know, in circumstances like if you're in high school and you get raped and you have to have a baby and then you can't go to college and you can't have a life and you're going to be in poverty. I mean, it's just, it's immoral. It's unethical.
Now, the overturning of Roe v. Wade doesn't mean that the opposite has occurred. It doesn't mean that abortion is now illegal in the United States. It means that it's a state-by-state issue.
About 25 states it would be legal, but now they want to pass, the Republicans say they gain control of both houses, and maybe not yet, but when they get a president again, they want to outlaw it nationally. That's horrifying.
Right, that would be...
That happens. That cannot be allowed to happen. Right. As long as you have a Democrat in the White House, it won't happen. But, I mean, if they get control of both houses, oh, my gosh. It could be much worse.
Right. I'd like to think that could never occur. So this situation certainly is not as bad. But Ron and I can agree that a woman in Ohio should not have to travel. And I think you can go to Illinois. We saw that chart. They're calling it like you can't camp somewhere. They're using that as a code word. But
they're also talking about some states are saying they're going to make it illegal for somebody to get medication through the mail. How can they can't do that? I don't understand how they could do that.
When you see Mike Pence
raving how wonderful it is, it makes me want to vomit. What kind of a person that wants to run for president would be raving about it? I mean, to that extent,
he might be
happy, but he's like gloating over it in Mike Pence, and I'm thinking, this is really crazy. And then, what is it, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, running for governor of Arkansas, says she wants to protect children in the womb as much as children in the classroom, with what we've just had recently? It's sick.
Yeah, the idea of states' rights, Ron, is fascinating, even if we have to look at something unfortunate to delve into that issue. For example, speed limits, not a perfect analogy, but they are now a state-by-state issue. We had a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, then a 65, and now parts of Texas it's 85, Ohio is 70, as it is in most states, mountain states where it's more rural, sometimes are a little higher. And I think we can...
Yes, in Montana, I think it's like 100 miles an hour, 90?
Yeah. I think we can agree that probably is a good idea. Just to ask you, Ron, because this is one we probably agree on, do you think that the drinking and smoking age should not be 21? And that's one thing, let me add, that Donald Trump did that I'm not happy about, the smoking age and vaping age, and then the drinking age has been 21 for a while.
Well, it's broken anyway. Nobody obeys it. I say nobody, but many don't. But what I do think is that every state should have you cannot get an AR-15 or some kind of weapon like that when you're under 21. Look at how many cases we've had already.
Right.
And these 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids who are not fully brain developed, you know?
Right. I mean, the gun control, that's another hot topic. But I just kind of wondered, Ron, do you agree with me on we're not advocating drinking and smoking and vaping, but people are going to do it. Do you agree with me that that should be a state-by-state issue, that the idea of withholding highway funds or some other punishment if the states do not make it 21, that that's just not cool? Or do you think we need to, even if it's not 21, do you think it needs to be regulated on a national level? As most countries, it's 18. In Canada, it's 18 or 19, for example. What do you think about that? Does that compare at all to some of the other national versus state laws?
I don't think it's as important. I would say drinking, I have more of a problem with than smoking. I mean, you know, it's, of course, they're both bad, but drinking because it could affect auto accidents. Smoking is not going to do, although I guess if you smoke marijuana, it could. But I don't really believe in a national standard. No, I think it has to be state by state.
Okay, so we can agree, you know, regardless of what we think the age should be, I think it should be probably 16, but 21, especially because other countries, it's not 21.
But another thing I want to say is there's these states that allow children to marry before 18. I don't think any state should allow anyone to marry before the age of 18.
Yeah, that's, I guess one thing we can talk about, and this doesn't have to be one where we are disagreeing a lot, because I think we agree. This is a 90% agreement. What is a state's right law, Ron, and what isn't? So we've decided, okay, we agree that speed limits should be state by state, as the speed you can drive through Montana, especially the flat part, versus the state you, versus the speed you can drive through in Connecticut or New Jersey or a state that's mostly urban, should
yes.
not be the same. I think we can agree on the minimum wage, as the cost to exist in San Francisco or Boston is a lot higher than it is in Marion or Chillicothe, or even some of the smaller cities in Florida. I think we can agree on that. You know, $15
yes.
an hour in Marion is pretty good money. $15 an hour in San Francisco, you might get a studio apartment with three roommates.
So, not even that, I don't think these days.
Right. I think we can agree on that. Maybe not agree on how much the minimum wage should be, but I think that certainly is logical. And then we get to, of course, the two big ones: the woman's right to choose, right to have an abortion, and of course things like the gun laws. And do we need national protection for a woman's right to choose? And I believe that we do, as I guess you do
absolutely.
Also.
But the problem is, let's say somehow the Democrats get enough support to get it done, then if the Republicans win, they can repeal it and then have to go back and forth. There's no certainty it will last. That's the problem. So this is a long-term crisis. It really is.
I mean, the whole thing here is there's a law that was passed by the Supreme Court, or I guess a judgment will be more of a correct way to say it, almost half a century ago, and now it's been removed. And 1970.
Yeah, I want to mention this. I'm doing an article that I'm going to publish tomorrow or the next day, that in the case of Roe v. Wade, which was 7-2, five of the seven votes for abortion rights were Republican appointments. Harry Blackmun for Nixon, Chief Justice Warren Burger for Nixon, William Brennan Eisenhower, Potter Stewart Eisenhower, Lewis Powell Nixon. All at five of the seven. And then in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey, 1992, a later case on abortion with some limits on it, the decision was 5-4, and all five in the majority were Republicans. Sandra Day O'Connor Reagan, Anthony Kennedy Reagan, David Souter, H.W. Bush, Harry Blackmun, again Nixon, and John Paul Stevens Ford. And yet, so it was a majority Republican court with six in one case and seven in the other, as far as actual party affiliation. Now we have six Republicans, and we can't get, except Roberts a little bit backing away, we can't get them to be what we call centrist or moderate. These are Republicans, appointed by presidents who were considered conservatives, Nixon, Eisenhower, Reagan particularly. And it's just mind-boggling.
We are speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman, making a return appearance here on the Adam Lepp program. I told you folks, get the coffee, cancel your plans. This is well worth it. We're hearing from a political expert historian about, I mean, obviously our views are biased. And in this case, we agree. We don't agree on some things. We certainly agree on this. And bottom line is we're not endorsing abortion. We are talking about a woman's right to choose and whether or not it should be a protected right by the United States government versus a states' right issue. We've agreed that speed limits, because Montana, Connecticut, Florida, and Ohio are states with different geography, different population densities, and different lifestyles. We agree speed limits should be state by state. Maybe the 55 was necessary during the energy crisis, and We may have an energy crisis currently, but cars are different. We have a lot of electric cars also. So things have changed since the 70s with the energy crisis, even though there are certainly some similarities. We would tend to agree that drinking, smoking, and vaping ages should be a state-by-state issue. But we certainly agree that it should be protected by the U.S. government, all 50 states and territories and possessions. Women's right to choose. And a judgment from 1973 has been vacated. And basically, we're back.
And by the way, this is something else. When has a right been granted and then taken away? Never. It's the other way. We had segregation, Plessy v. Ferguson, and it was reversed 58 years later, and it gave the idea of ending segregation in public places, although it was not enforced right away. But and you give people the right to vote. What, are we going to take back the right to vote now to different people, as they're trying to do with voting rights, making it more difficult for people to register to vote? It's just crazy to be taking away something that's been granted. It's already been done, whether right or wrong, it's been done.
Now, Ron, the Supreme Court ruling from 73, you were in your mid to late 20s. You are probably just...
Yeah, so good, the good old days.
You were, I guess, just
started
before...
started my teaching in 1972, 50 years ago.
Right, it was just as you were getting your PhD or writing up your thesis. You were certainly heavily involved in what's going on here in this great country. A Supreme Court ruling does not amend the Constitution. It is just a ruling that says, just like a decision in a civil case or a criminal case, the judge saying you owe $1 million liability for something that you did, or that a person who commits a crime goes to jail, pays a fine, etc., even something like a speeding ticket. This is a judgment that said on a federal level in the first, I believe, 6 months of pregnancy.
24 weeks,
yeah. It is legal for a woman to have an abortion, and no state can take away that right. That's what Roe v. Wade said, right? I'm obviously summarizing it, but that's essentially what the spirit is of the ruling. And now the ruling is that no longer happens. States,
and that because it's not mentioned in the Constitution, but again, lots of things are not in the Constitution. You can't go by just what was in 1787.
Right, but states at least can decide, so it's not as bad as saying no state can allow abortion. That would be quite tragic, to put it mildly, but I think we need to force states to require it. It is just like the same-sex marriage ruling, where there are some states...
That's the next step. Gay marriage, interracial marriage, and also, the idea of contraceptives. These are all things that were done that are not in the Constitution. So, what's the same as women's right to vote? What does that mean? I mean, are you going to say none of these things can happen because some people don't like it?
I mean, with respect to same-sex marriage, because that's a hot topic, the ruling is that states must require it. And that's why that court clerk went to jail, because she refused to do it. She's a public servant. And we have the cases of the bakers not baking a cake. And, my opinion is that that's their right. They have a right to decline that. And that's their business. But as a public servant, a court clerk must marry two men as long as they're consenting adults.
Two women,
et cetera. And if she doesn't, I think she should go to jail. And I'm glad that she did, regardless of what her particular viewpoint is on that.
Now, the point is, you should not have the right to impose your view on others as far as their basic rights and freedom. You don't have to like it. I say to students, maybe you don't like the idea that two men can marry, two women can marry, or black and white, or Asian and Hispanic. It's none of your business.
Yeah,
it's not your business to tell people. You can think what you want, but you don't have the right to impose it on others.
Right, and that's my philosophy, that the KYLOMB, keep your laws off my body, and that's where they're... And I might ask you about an opinion, Ron, without debating it, because this has also come up. But do we need to amend the Constitution to say that the U.S. government protects a woman's right to choose. Is that something that should have been done in the last 49 years? What are your thoughts on that?
It could never be done because an amendment requires a two-thirds vote of each House of Congress. That will never happen. And three-fourths of the 50 states, 38 states, by majority vote in both houses, except Nebraska only has a one house. That's never going to happen. We've had many suggestions for amendments. We've only gotten 27 in all the history of the United States. So the amendment process is a dream, but it's never going to happen.
So a Supreme Court decision is not as powerful as an amendment. Of course, an amendment can also be amended to become not valid. Isn't that, that's the way prohibition worked, right? That they amended
for the one case where prohibition was ended, yes.
Right.
Realistically, you're never going to get 38 states and two-thirds of each house, you know, to the first step to do that. So it can't be done that way. It has to be done by passing a law. But again, it can be passed, and then and then the opposition comes in and they can repeal it. It could go back and forth constantly. This is the problem. So this is a long-term crisis that's not going to be resolved anytime soon.
Right. So even if we amend the Constitution, that is not the point of no return, because prohibition is an example of that. It certainly is more powerful than a Supreme Court decision.
But again, it's not going to happen. We have not had anything since 1992. We don't have amendments. Amendments under the system we have are extremely difficult, which is good in a way and bad in a way. Depends on how you look at it.
Now, people have mentioned, okay, what's next? Same-sex marriage, interracial marriage, and we have Clarence Thomas,
Yes, he's an interracial man. Yeah. Are we going to ban his being married?
Yeah.
I notice he's not talking about interracial because it benefits him, but he does.
Yeah,
he brought up about same-sex marriage and about contraceptives. Now, if you don't have contraceptives, it also means people will be pregnant when they don't want to be, and they'll have children which they don't always want because there'll be no way to prevent it. I mean, it's interfering with people in their own privacy. And this idea there's no right to privacy. Come on. That's crazy.
Yeah,
totalitarian fascist, as far as I'm concerned, that you don't have the right to privacy.
Yeah, one thing I don't like is hypocrisy. And I'll just say this, Ron.
Oh, there's plenty of hypocrisy with the majority on the court. Yeah.
Justice Thomas, if you're listening, you're a whack job. I've said it.
So is Alito. Alito's no better. Don't forget, he actually wrote the majority opinion.
I agree, but one thing about Thomas is... I'm glad that he's married to a white woman. I encourage people to marry whom
they
fall in love with, regardless of sex, age, as long as you're a consenting adult, race, et cetera. So I applaud his interracial marriage, but he is a hypocrite with a capital H, and this really ticks me off. I don't know how else to say. I can't believe he'd be saying that.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I want to point out, and I'm going to write about this, that ironically, you could say some good things, like about any president, you could say some good things about George H.W. Bush and about George W. Bush, more about H.W. Bush, but they gave us Alito, Thomas and Alito, so that will be part of their condemnation in history, that they gave us, I think, the two most horrendous members of the court in the last 100 years, because Thomas and Alito, both by Bushes, and look what they have done now. And I don't think Barbara Bush or Laura Bush would be very happy about it. I don't think Laura Bush is. And I don't think Barbara Bush, if she was still here, would be.
Yeah, but there's no
it's
question.
It's just so sad. The Bushes really did some good things, particularly the father. But this is part of his record as well. Just like people saying Trump, he could say that he cut taxes for the wealthy, which he pledged, and he got Roe v. Wade reversed, which is negative. But he could say he accomplished those goals. I don't think they're going to be positive in the long run. But he did accomplish them, yes. But in the case of the Bushes, they gave us two horrible choices.
I think
along with the ones Trump gave us.
Barbara Bush and Betty Ford are in heaven right now, and they're none too pleased.
Oh, Betty Ford would be furious. And probably Laura Bush is. You know, she keeps quiet pretty much, but she's a good lady.
Ron, do you think my assessment of Mr. Thomas, whack job and hypocrite, is that being too hard, or would you tend to agree?
No, but I think he actually is mentally disturbed. I think he has such venom and hatred because of the way he feels he was treated. And get this, I have a cousin who I spoke to who said he doesn't think that, and of course we don't know for sure, but I said, you really think Anita Hill made that up? I just don't see that. You know, like, I don't know. So I thought to myself, so I dropped the subject because you can't talk to people because you don't want to break the relationship with a relative, but oh my God, I could not believe that.
We've talked about
this before. This, yeah. We won't talk about Thomas since. This is about last week. He was just saying he was defending Thomas and said he doesn't think that he was harassing Anita. I said, you really don't know, but I said, really, come on, you know. But I gave up on it.
We've talked about some of Trump's Supreme Court appointees, and the one that comes up is Neil Gorsuch. And you've been a bit surprised, happily, that he's been more moderate than
in some things.
Right. And
yes, but his mother, you know, was the head of the EPA and crooked. And Gorsuch Burfitt,
right.
His mother. I'm not blaming him for his mother, but he comes from the same right-wing vein, you know, as far as his views, as I see it. But he did speak up in a case in which, I don't know what it means, that Native Americans supposedly are in charge in eastern Oklahoma, but I don't know what that means in reality. Supposedly eastern Oklahoma is Indian territory, but I don't see Oklahoma government doing that. I don't quite understand what that means, but I was a little stunned by a couple of the cases that he has voted on.
With me, as you know, Ron, I'm independent, and I don't like or really understand the whole concept of political parties. Now, if you're running for governor, another high-level office, you want people to know your views and, you know, love them or hate them. You know, your governor there in Florida is one with some controversy for sure. So we're not going to talk about another gentleman named Ron who lives.
No, there's a lot of Rons I don't like Ron Johnson, Senator from Wisconsin, Ron DeSantis. No, the name Ron is not a good name for me.
Right.
Now.
As a justice, and this applies to magistrates and judges in Marion County, on the Ohio Supreme Court, and the federal Supreme Court, you have to keep your own opinions out of it and look at the letter of the law. And from what Alito was said, is it's not constitutionally protected. And you're saying,
well, I want to point out, by the way, about Alito. Do you realize he almost was Chief Justice? The fact is that Scalia, Rehnquist, I'm sorry, Rehnquist died on the day before Roberts was being considered to replace Sandra Day O'Connor, who had retired, but because they hadn't started the hearings, Bush decided overnight, Bush 2, that he would make him the Chief Justice, and then he appointed Alito. It could have been otherwise. We could have had Chief Justice Alito, not Chief Justice Roberts.
Yeah.
How's that?
I mean, and that's where Gorsuch comes into play. I really kind of surprised when I saw that he was voting with the majority. Because, I mean, I was finding myself liking him to an extent, understanding how he feels as a man.
Also, should not have had that appointment because Garland was appointed by Obama, but McConnell wouldn't allow a hearing. So that was also wrong.
But
and then go ahead and pick Barrett a week before the election. But they should not have done that.
I mean, I just don't understand, Ron, how the party and the personal biases and beliefs of these justices should affect how they rule. I can't grasp that. And it seems like we're having, and that goes on both sides. Yeah, I mean,
the court now has lost its allure and its image, and I don't think it's ever going to get it back. It's got like a 25% rating before this decision. I think it's really got a low opinion. It's the lowest since the 1920s, you know, before the New Deal came along. I mean, and it was really at its peak in the Warren Court in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and that's long gone, unfortunately.
I mean, it goes on both ends. Sotomayor, I mean, maybe the most liberal of the justices, and I don't want her biases, if they agree with mine or not, to also enter into it. And, I mean, you would think as a legal scholar, which is what we expect Supreme Court justices to be, the highest court in the land, that they would write a decision that follows the principles of this great country. And I don't claim to have a law degree from Harvard or from anywhere for that matter, just having been around it, having lawyers in my family, and just being an American who watches the news and talks about stuff on the radio. But what Alito said is a bunch of hogwash.
Yes.
I don't know how else to say it.
I'm talking about claiming degrees. I'm just to kid around and say, Herschel Walker claims he got a college degree and all other kinds of things running in Georgia, and he's lying all the time. But he thinks he should be elected to the Senate from Georgia over Reverend Warnock. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in that.
I mean, you've talked about adding to Supreme Court justices. Do we need to do that? Do we need to abolish the Supreme Court? Do we need to have them pledge?
We can't abolish it. But there is some talk, and I'm mixed on it, of adding members to the court. Of course, they have to be approved. But the point is, it have been changes in the membership, number of members of the court over time. But it's just very political, of course. And, I don't know, but because now it's such an extreme right-wing court, it's not a moderate court. And again, we have Republican majority courts in these other cases, but they were still in the moderate center right, not extreme right. So that's the problem. The Federalist Society has grabbed a hold and has brought about the most extreme right-wing justices we've seen, other than Scalia, in the last 100 years.
Are you also disappointed in Gorsuch that we've seen him not yes. let his biases interfere? But I think he did that here. Because again,
I think less in him than the other two. You know, I don't think Kavanaugh should have been on the court because I believe the sexual harassment there was real. And Barrett is a bit of a loony because she belongs to this extremist Christian group. And honestly, we're supposed to have separation of church and state, and she's too much of a Christian, you know, nationalist, and that bothers me. And I think there's too much religion in the court. It's not supposed to be that way. And I understand there's some Jewish leadership that is saying, you can have your viewpoint, but don't force your Christian theology on us, you know, about abortion. And it's ridiculous. Religion, and that's another thing. They made that decision about that these schools that are religious can get federal funding. No, they should not be getting it. But everything's going to the extreme right now. And we haven't even heard the final cases of the court this week, so we're going to have more shocks.
It just seems like the Supreme Court, Ron, has become almost like part of the Congress, where these biases affect decisions, and these are decisions affecting the life of everybody. Abortion affects everybody. It affects the economy. It has a domino effect, and this decision is a major one, and one that will be talked about.
And abortion is going to affect more poor people, whether black or white or whatever, because that's the way it is. You know, if you're wealthy, you'll fly to Canada or whatever to get an abortion. But a lot of people, it's going to affect the poor and have people having children who they cannot afford or do not want. There'll be more child abuse, God forbid. There'll be more, you know, other. It's just not right. You can't force people to have children.
The idea
that everybody's going to be adopted, like Barrett believes, that's not the case. Plenty of people are, you know, have trouble being adopted, and they move around from one family to another. It's not good for children. You know, that's why I think it's immoral and unethical. But these people are allowing their Christian faith to get in the way of having an open mind, and it's forcing it on us, all of us. That's not right.
We have had Dr. Ron Fineman on for the last 40 minutes or so here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break and the Adam the Computer Guy radio program here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Definitely due to have Ron on, and we're appreciative that he took time out of his schedule to discuss this important and controversial issue with us, one that will be talked about for a long time, as a ruling that lasted almost half a century has been struck down. I'd like to conclude, Ron, I think you would agree, we encourage people to protest. Write to the newspaper, write to your congressperson, write.
Yes.
But don't be violent. That's not going to solve anything.
No, but it might change the midterm election. It's more important than ever, no matter which side you're on, to vote, because that's going to determine what happens in the future and also the presidential election. But Republicans are worried about this, and Trump, I gather, is a little worried that it might affect his party. I think it will. But also the January 6th revelations are going to hurt, too. It's starting to get through with what the committee has done. So it's certainly never going to be boring. Politics is never boring.
It certainly is something that will be good material for talk radio, and we encourage people to get involved. Honestly, I was shocked when I saw that this decision was handed down. I was listening to Scott's show on Friday. 24th
yeah,
when
I
happened.
Felt like my blood pressure went up. I was worried I was going to have a heart attack, honestly. You know, I've had blood pressure issues. I felt so strained. And again, I've never felt that way about any other court case. Even the crime case the day before wasn't quite, I mean, it was upsetting, but not to this extent. But one on the other, it's like, my God, you know, now we have to wonder what they're going to do with the remaining cases. They still have to decide. So anyway, I want to just thank you. I wouldn't say I enjoyed it because it's an unpleasant topic, but I did enjoy interacting with you very much, Adam.
And Scott did speak to news person, a frequent guest on his show, Sam Donaldson, later that morning.
Yes,
I was listening
to that, yes.
Interviews available on our website under the Scott's Celebrity Interviews section on our website. Again, Dr. Ron Fineman, he's been my guest. He will likely be on with Glenn Wednesday about 13 minutes after noon to talk more about this issue and others. And be sure to visit his blog at The Progressive Professor. .com. Thanks again, Ron.
And HistoryNewsNetwork.org. Thanks so much, Adam.
Have a great day. And this is Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM and WWGH 1071.com.